Just wondering what you've seen from Jalen Polk early this season and maybe what's contributed to some of the struggles he's had early on.
I think he just, he needs to get over this mental hump. You gotta eliminate the drop passes. You gotta be better blocking, which he did a great job in college at that. And at times throughout the season, he just has to continue to grow. He has to work harder. He has to pay more attention to the details. And we fully expect him to grow into a receiver that's dependable on run and pass downs.
That was Jerod Mayo back on Monday. Mental hump, has to work harder. Oh boy, he's talking about Jalen Polk. Patriots
he's trying to coach him
pick.
Up a little
yeah,
bit.
He's you know, tough love.
Yep.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Not for Gen Z. It's hour number two here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We're going to talk to Dietrich Wise a day early. Patriots Friday tomorrow, but Pat's on their way to London. So he'll join us here momentarily. We're also going to talk to Andrew Raycroft, the Razor.
The Razor.
Talk some Bruins.
Nice Bruins win last night.
Real nice win.
Very
for the
nice.
Bruins. Who was in net that got the victory?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't Jeremy Swayman, I can tell you that.
No, it wasn't.
So we'll do that coming up a little later on this hour. Stay tuned for all of it. But we played you that Jerod Mayo clip now a bunch of times this week. Mark Daniels at Mass Live caught up with Jalen Polk yesterday.
Yes.
For his thoughts.
This is a good get.
On Jerod Mayo's comments. Let's just say Jalen Polk doesn't sound like he loved it.
No?
He said, quote, "I'm not dealing with any mental problems. No mental problems at all." When asked about the recent drop passes, Polk said, "I believe I have the best hands in the league."
I'm sorry?
He said, "I believe I have the best hands in the league."
I got a news flash for him. He doesn't.
"So I feel like my drops, that's not an issue at all."
Okay.
He went
best hands in the league. So I love the confidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to tell you this. I love the confidence. You know me. I also love receivers. I'm very big pro receiver guy. But I also think you need to be like a made man. So say like Larry Fitzgerald had a run where he dropped a couple of passes, and if he came out and said I have the best hands in the league, he'd be like, yeah,
yeah, you might,
you probably do.
Yeah,
you've just dropped a couple of passes. You can't catch them all. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or anybody that like demands the ball. If Terrell Owens is demanding the ball, or if Justin Jefferson's demanding the ball. Moss, you're like, you know what? Get him the ball. Like, the guy's right. But if you haven't even played in the league, and then when you have played, you've dropped passes or you couldn't get your toes in bounds, and then you complained about it, and then you still didn't know the rule after the fact, I have less sympathy for you. I think you
What did Bourne say to us? Bourne's like, look, you can say whatever you want. We love the confidence, but you got to go out there and back it up. If you don't go out there and back it up, that doesn't work.
This is the guy, and I don't know if it's exactly what Jerod Mayo is talking about with changing the starting lineup and things like that, but my guess would be Jalen Polk's playing time this Sunday is drastically lower than it was last week, and dare I say, maybe even inactive. I think Jerod Mayo
think he might be inactive now.
Yeah, I do, because I wonder if Jerod Mayo, and you know he knows everything that's said in the media. So basically, Mayo's trying to cut him some slack. Be like,
I wonder if they go the other way, Keith. And
playing
they say,
too much?
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, oh, I was too mean to him. I accuse him of having mental problems, which
all right,
is not
so
what he did.
So that's a big test for Mayo then coming up.
Like,
what would you do?
Twitch chat says, oh, I would sit him down. You're not playing.
I'd bench him.
Go, maybe you're a healthy scratch. You're definitely playing less
but
than
your
Kendrick Bourne.
You're barely.
Like, the Twitch chat makes a good point. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. He's a player's coach. So what does a player's coach do? They go, oh, my player's upset. My player's angry. I'm going to empower them. He had a few more comments, but you can weigh in on all this. After a rough two-game stretch, writes Mark Daniels about Jalen Polk at Mass Live. It remains to be seen if Polk will remain in the starting lineup. I would say debatable.
No,
whether
he's not.
Or not he will, he should not.
No,
I'm with
Booty,
you on that.
Booty's already getting more snaps. Booty and Pop are going to play more than him.
And you know Bourne's just going to play more and more the healthier he gets.
Mm-hmm.
When asked if he was eager to prove himself, Polk said he was limited in what he could do on the field. I feel like I'm limited to what I can really do right now, Polk said. I mean, just continue to keep a good mindset and get better. When asked to clarify what he meant, Polk responded, I wouldn't say anything specific.
Oh, okay.
I'll just say I'm limited on certain things right now.
So you're going to be real limited when you don't play. That's what I think it's going to be. And I don't want to come across as the hard ass, right?
Yep.
I know that it's hard to coach players that way in this day and age. I think it's his lack of production thus far in a game in which two of the other receivers and even one of the tight ends had great games, right? Drake May came onto the scene his debut. They're throwing the ball downfield.
Career high for Pop Douglas, career high for Kayshon Booty. Not
first,
long careers,
nope,
but career highs.
No, and first career touchdown for Pop Douglas,
yep,
the whole thing. And then you have this guy who was their high second round pick, does nothing, drops a pass, isn't really a factor. And then afterwards is saying, just dismissing what the coach said, right? Like, oh, like, you know, hey, he's got to get over like a mental hurdle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I don't have a mental problem. And I have the best hands in the league. And, the way, I'm not being utilized properly.
By the way, the text line's right. 3793. He didn't accuse you of having mental problems. He said you need to get over a mental, there's a mental
block
catching right now. And so, right.
It happens.
Jalen Polk is way overreacting to that comment. It was a touch strong from Jerod Mayo. He didn't need to go there. He didn't need to say he's got a mental block and all these things are there. But right, grow up, deal with it. It's okay.
I'm sitting him down. I think it's the easiest thing to do. Send a message.
Okay.
Send a message.
I'm afraid they'll go the other way. I'm afraid.
Target him first five possessions.
I'm afraid Mayo is like, I was too mean. I don't want to lose the locker room. I'm going to play him because I don't want to lose this player.
They run that stupid end around to him again right up where he gets tackled for like a yard.
I'm nervous about that. I wonder if it goes the other way before these comments from
Mayo
heard
about
crying about.
Of Mayo heard about these immediately.
Of course he heard about these.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you know.
This is a big decision for him.
Like, to me, that I feel like Mayo would want to shy away from being accused of saying his player has mental problems, which is not what he said.
No,
but then
problems.
I also feel like Polk is calling out the coaching staff by saying I'm underutilized.
And you also right now have at least two guys better. You at least have two guys better.
Maybe
three with Bourne, depending on how you feel.
He's playing better. Is Booty definitely better? Debatable.
No, right now he is.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah.
As of this moment, I still think for the season and certainly their careers, Polk should be better.
Booty's had one game, is all I would say. Yeah, it's one more game than Jalen Polk.
Even the game before, it felt like they trusted him more and he played a lot of snaps.
He played a ton of snaps the game before, yes.
So, but there wasn't as much opportunity because it was Jacoby Brissett throwing the ball.
Right.
I just think like I grade it way more. I look at last game more than I look at the previous five, just because of who the quarterback was. If he's on the same page, even if it's that one great play, he's more on the same page with Drake May than certainly Jalen Polk is. And Booty isn't calling out the coaching staff. You know, he's not saying
he's
limited right now. Like, what do you mean you're limited? What are you talking about?
No, I don't think he's been limited. He played a ton. And the coaching
he's got
staff
a lot of confidence.
Coaching
for
staff didn't shove you out of bounds.
Yeah.
Coaching staff didn't drop those footballs. I'm sorry, I was just reading Alex Van Pelt is talking now, and so I'm just catching up on a few of the things he had to say.
That's our guy.
Here is what he said about Drake May popping up on the injury report. Not concerned, which is Phil Perry said that last night.
Like it.
On BST.
Good stuff.
He says that's for the head coach and the trainers, but he looked good to me. I don't know if he was asked directly about an MRI. I'm just sifting through some of the comments. Mm-hmm. He was asked as well about Kayshon Booty.
What about Kayshon?
He was asked on early on whether or not they saw Booty as a starting wide receiver.
Okay.
He said as he continued.
I think he's like on this team.
Okay, but this might be indirectly about Jalen Polk.
Oh.
As he continued to work, the biggest thing with Booty was how he approached practice, and he really tried to put on the hat, and he did great work. I'm proud of his perseverance.
Put on the hat?
That's the quote I'm reading. Put on his hard hat. I'm sorry.
Oh, his hard hat.
I put on his hard hat.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Hard hat.
Yeah, put a hard hat. He's like a ham and egger. You
exactly.
know?
Lunch pail.
Lunch pail guy.
Yeah, for sure a lunch
Grabs
pail guy.
Grabs his morning coffee, a little sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely no cream or sugar in that coffee. It's a black coffee like you read about. Hair on his chest. I'm so proud of him for his perseverance. So is that...
Proud?
Should we in any way make that or read into that as a dig at Jalen Polk? He's trumpeting up all these things.
A little bit.
And Booty's passed him on the depth chart.
Yeah, so we have no idea like what Polk's practice habits are like. All we can really see him is in the games. But if he is hyping up Booty, I think a lot of times, and Mayo's even confirmed this, so this isn't even us just guessing. A lot of times when you talk about one player, it's also very much about another player. And Polk is in the spotlight here this week. So when you're asking him a question about one of the other players that is playing more than him right now, then I think that could be a message.
I think so too. So interesting. And these are things we can talk to Dietrich Wise about when he joins us here on Jones and Keith. Meanwhile, let's get to some phone calls. Adam's in Canton on Jalen Polk. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, hey, guys. Doesn't Polk saying he has the best hands in the league prove that he's kind of mentally in another universe?
Yes. Probably fair. I mean, yes, he certainly does not have the best hands in the league. So, I don't necessarily disagree with...
But, like, you have to prove that. Like, that's insane to say. Look, like, it's one thing to have confidence, but, like, I have the best hands in the league. I'm being limited right now.
Best hands in the league is crazy. To say, I'm better than what I've shown would be completely fair.
Yeah.
Even to say, because the book on him in college was that he did have pretty good hands.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
You know, and so,
but for people who didn't watch all the Huskies games last year, it doesn't look like he does.
So, Jalen Polk says he has the best hands in the league, and Javon Baker says he's a top 10 receiver in the league.
If only these guys were actually on the team. Imagine if the Patriots had the guy with the best hands in the league. It'd be awesome.
And Jalen Polk loses snap share week over week over week, and Javon Baker can't get on the field. And yeah, was he a healthy scratch last week? He was.
Baker was, yeah.
Yeah, he was he's a healthy scratch.
He was a scratch. He and Tyquan Thornton were both scratches.
Okay. So, these are how they're talking in that receiver room. Oh, yeah, and Tyquan Thornton says he needs to take things personally.
Yep.
And has a Michael Jordan meme when he was a healthy scratch. So that's your receiver room. And by the way, they're not super productive.
Jalen Polk, is this right? Played every snap against Miami?
That's probably right. I mean, I feel like he was playing a lot of snaps between weeks 2 and 5. That's probably right.
So this is what I'm looking at here. It looks like from week 1, this is just percentage of snaps.
Yeah, week 1 I feel like wasn't 54. Super high, but I remember being like, oh, that's higher than I thought, but I knew it wasn't a huge number. Week 2, I think it started to go up.
So it went from 54 to 60.
Okay, still low.
Down to 50, although that was the Jets game.
Those are lower than I thought, though.
But then 83 against the Niners, and then 100 against Miami, and then down to 65.
Okay. So
against Houston,
he played well in the Niners game. That's the best he played. I still think he reeled in that 50-yard catch, in fairness to him.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the Miami game, he didn't do anything except step out of bounds on what would have been the go-ahead touchdown.
He has 10 catches in 6 games.
78 yards, right, off the top of my head?
Yes. 78, good guess. Yes. 78 yards. 10 catches, 78 yards, 1 touchdown. I know if you ask him, he says he has 2 touchdowns.
He's got
it. But he really has the one.
He got boned. He has a 50-yard catch and a touchdown.
And what is it? At least 2 drops.
He had 2 drops last week. I don't know how many he has on the year.
He had a few against the Dolphins, too.
It was 2 last week.
Ugh.
He's got 78 yards on the year. DeMario Douglas had 92 on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Not great.
It's a slow start. I'm not writing him off yet. I just think there are signs. And then the way he's talking now, I feel like they're forcing Jerod Mayo's hand now to sit him. Now, you might be right. They could go the absolute opposite way. When Pop Douglas was saying, hey, I need the ball or whatever, and then I'm paraphrasing, then the very next week they design plays for him right off the shoot. Like, that'll be pretty amazing if you see Sunday morning as we're sitting there drinking our Bloody Marys.
The first check is he active or not?
Like,
the first check is he going to be active for the game in London? The second check is, right, is he...
Does Van Pelt scheme up plays immediately for Polk?
Is he on the field, and is he getting plays schemed up for him? And if he is, you know they're really treating this player with kid gloves.
It is funny. They have too many receivers, right? Like, they have, a quantity over quality.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
they have a lot of good ones, but they have a lot of similarly skilled receivers.
To my point is, they have inactive receivers, but then they also have active ones who don't play.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know what I'm saying? Here are the active guys, and they're all playing.
Yeah.
Like, he could actually be active on Sunday and not play.
Correct.
Like, they did KJ Osborne, I think, last week was active.
Tyquan Thornton 2 weeks ago played 2% of the snaps. Right. They could easily do that. Frank is in Dover on our Barmore discussion. Go ahead, Frank.
Frank?
Frank?
Hello, Frank?
Frank.
Frank, you're next. Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
We'll
hold for Frank.
Wasn't really itching to talk about Christian Barmore. Right. Chris is in Maine.
Neither was he, evidently. Yeah. Hello, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You were asking earlier, do Pats fans care if they win games at this stage? Absolutely. Because I think, it's important as they're building some sort of a culture on this team that they need to figure out, who cares about winning, to be honest. And, it doesn't matter if they pick 1, 2, 3, or, 9 or 10, because they're going to address, hopefully, offensive line, get a tackle or two, and then, maybe Bob Kraft has to spend some money and then get your top line receiver, But so it does matter if they win.
Yeah, I want them to win.
I do, too, at least right now. I mean, come back to me in 2 months, and if it's, hey, if you lose out, you get pick 3. If you win out, you're picking 7, then, okay, lose those last 2.
And, if you didn't have Drake May, I've said this a bunch this year, but I'll reiterate.
Yep.
If you didn't have Drake May and you needed a quarterback, I would be like, this is an important game. You may want to lose this one. It's a race to the bottom.
That's a big swing. I think if the quarterback's waiting there at the end of it, then you probably as a franchise should.
And
if it's not, then try to win.
We said I don't love this quarterback class, so I don't know that I would feel that way. But the fact that they have Drake May, I feel even more strongly. I don't want them tanking for the first pick because I agree with that caller. What's the difference between 5 and 10? Like, it's not like you can't trade from 10 to 5. You might have to put in other capital, but if there's a player you love, you can still get them.
Here's the other thing,
too. You're not moving from 10 to 1 to get the quarterback. You don't need a quarterback. It's easier to move up and get somebody. So I don't think there's a huge difference. I think there's value in winning games and getting some buy-in early on with Drake May from within the locker room. I don't know how many guys are going to be on the team next year and the year after that, but get some buy-in with Drake May.
Also, if they lose out, let's say, or win one game,
And they're 1-16, 2-15.
So there is, the NFL loves parity. The NFL is sort of designed on it, and they want teams to go from worst to first. And we've seen teams be really bad. So we brought up the example of Jared Goff. Jared Goff, the number one overall pick, only started 7 games under Jeff Fisher and was horrible. He looked like he was bad. And then they were really good the next year. But they didn't just bring everybody back. So if they're really, really bad, I don't think with a straight face you could bring Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, Drake May back. And something tells me two out of those three guys are locked in.
Right. I think we know who the odd man out is.
But like, I don't think, how many examples are there of this? We'd have to get the Rich Keefe stats and info department on it. But how many examples are a really, really bad team, then the next year, with all of those pieces in place, really good? Maybe the coach and the quarterback, maybe just the coach, maybe just the quarterback, but I can't imagine the coordinator and everybody is like, yeah, we were 0-12, but there were some good signs there.
Yeah.
No, like, you can't be 0-12 with good signs.
No, I mean, look, I said this earlier. I would rather they win the game and May doesn't play great than they lose the game and May plays great.
I think maybe for a one-off, I can't sign up for too many of
those. No, I agree. I don't want that. I don't want that the rest of the year, but for this game, it feels like the team needs a win for like some buy-in so they don't just all check out. And, you know, start driving around Providence.
It's like the guy at the bar.
Yelling at cops.
I need a win.
They need something.
I need a win here.
And this, like, they need it. Especially looking, because if they lose to Jacksonville.
Man.
And, I mean, and you're on the way back on a long flight.
Doug Peterson would get a little sign of life.
You're going to get a lot of guys checking out.
Don't let Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence get hot.
And there's a benefit to having veterans and even young players not completely check out while you're trying to figure out what you have in Drake May. More updates here from Alex Van Pelt.
EVP.
He continues to speak at the podium. He says how May has improved over the last few weeks. He says that he's gotten good on the red zone period.
Like that.
He also has gotten them into the right protections, the right routes, and through a touchdown. He says, I don't know if that would have gotten done in week one. So that's Alex Van Pelt patting himself on the back a little bit.
No, I've done.
He couldn't have done that week one, but because of my work and what I did, this is now where he's at. So you can thank me later.
It's not just a look at the job I've done. It's also a, it was the right call not to start him.
Correct.
Yo, both. That's what that is.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it's also a little bit of like, see, I have value here. I want to be here beyond this year and beyond December. I have value.
So for everybody, the wins probably matter the most to him.
Even more so than Mayo. Yeah, I think.
Although he just lost his job last year, and he was the quarterback coach for 5 quarterbacks who made the playoffs.
Good point.
And they were like, "No, we don't want you."
Good point.
So I don't know. Maybe that's not.
Yeah. Who are the wins most important to? That's a good question.